Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com. Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to The Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 453 of The Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. You said it. You said as always.
I'm always here with you. As always, we're here together. That's not really true. Sometimes we're here with someone else or we're not here at all.
We're not here at all. Often we're not here at all, actually. It might not seem that way to the people who are trying to get through hundreds of back episodes, but.
That's true. Well, we are here together today on Tuesday. It's episode 453, and we have prepared dinner. No, we've prepared an episode about preparing dinner, specifically the meals that right now in our homes feeding our families are like always in the menu planning rotation. And I think we owe a shout out to young Owen for coining this phrase. Say more.
Yeah. So when Owen was, definitely it was when we were doing this podcast.
In the last 5 years or something.
Yeah. Something like that. When he became pretty opinionated about the meals I made for dinner in his like early adolescence, let's say. So maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe he was like 11 or 12. And we went through a couple phases where I had to say, don't rate my food with a number while I'm eating it or you're eating it. Please don't give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. But I said, how about this? If you really like something, let me know. And he said, okay, well, Mom, I want you to put this in the rotation. So that was the beginning of the idea that he did. It was never a negative. It was like always in the affirmative, like, Mom, put this in the rotation. And so, it's been very helpful over the years to kind of get a sense for what the kids are liking, what the kids are liking now. I think for myself, I have before gotten in phases where I keep making stuff they're not into. And finally, I'm like, why isn't anybody like look that happy anymore? You used to love this. And they have to tell me that they've changed and they haven't actually enjoyed it for years. And I'm like, okay, so the always in rotation meals do change. Some of them have been consistent for us for a long time and some are relatively new. So we're going to talk about this today.
I'm really excited about this. It also, every time we do an episode about cooking dinner for our families, my imposter syndrome shows up, and you know this, Megan, and listeners know it. I just don't, it's not an area I feel super confident in motherhood, and that's okay. And also I have a husband who loves to cook, and in certain seasons of life, he's been doing almost all the dinner cooking, and then we'll go into a different season of life and I'm like, shoot, now I'm the main dinner cook again. What am I going to do? Like, so this is like, that's just how I am. But with always in rotation dinners, this feels like an easy one for me to talk about because our meal plan is just not very interesting. It's like the same three or four things every week, but that's kind of what we're talking about today. So I can easily talk about a few things that always make the rotation. I know how we make them. I know how to shop for them. And most importantly, the kids all eat them, or they at least when they see them written on the whiteboard, they're not like, wow, what is that?
What's this?
Yeah. They know their way. They know how to navigate that night's meal, even if it's not their favorite.
Well, and I think it's also important to point out that just because something is always in rotation doesn't mean you're always the one cooking it. So
that's true.
There might be some of these things that sometimes Brian is cooking. And in my case, that maybe sometimes Eric is cooking. So the kids like them. They make it into the meal plan a lot. Whoever it is that cooks them is secondary.
Yeah. And they make sense for your family. I think that's a meal that's always in rotation is it makes sense for your family at this point in time. And we're going to share the ones that make sense for our families right now.
Well, you go first and tell us what's always in rotation for you.
Okay. Well, the first one that I picked is salmon and baked potatoes. The salmon, Brian does usually cook it. But this is a meal where I can do all of the rest of it. And then he can walk in the door and kind of pan sear the salmon. I can do the salmon if I have to, but he's just better at it. Megan, I was 14 years into motherhood when I realized that one way to unlock an always in rotation meal is to pair two main things together that maybe the kids don't like both of them, but everybody likes one of them. And that is the case with salmon and baked potatoes in my house. There's five of us eating: me, Brian, Luke, Reed, Violet. Three of us like salmon. Me, Brian, and Luke love it. Three people love a loaded baked potato. That would be the three kids: Luke, Reed, Violet. Brian and I can take or leave a baked potato. Sometimes we split one or like eat a little bit of the skins. So this is a meal where once I realized that pairing the two together, first of all, they sound like they make sense together. One's a lean protein and one's kind of starchy, and you can add more stuff to the baked potato. But it took me that long to realize, like, oh, I could always pair salmon and baked potatoes. I don't have to look for other things to serve with salmon or other things to serve right. with baked potatoes. They just always go together, and it works for our family. So yeah, I'll stop there. If you have questions about how we serve or anything else or how we cook, I do make a good baked potato on my own, and we do serve a lot of fun fix-ins with the baked potatoes.
Well, I have many things that I want to say. One of them is that a baked potato in and of itself is a meal.
Reed and Violet, they're not eating salmon.
It is for your kids who aren't eating salmon. Yeah. But I mean, like, even just stopping at the baked potato, like, you would be, I think there's a lot of, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to have like well-rounded meals every single time that have like three things or whatever, or it's always different. And I think it's good to remember that your kids who are just eating that loaded baked potato are getting like a pretty full little meal in that potato.
Yeah. So, and you notice there was no salad and no veg in this meal, because that's not part of the rotation. If Brian really wanted to and we had a salad, maybe, but that I did not put it on there because very often it is just salmon and baked potatoes.
I also think this is a great one to lead with, because I love that you're saying you always put those two things together.
Always.
And you had to finally learn that, like, it doesn't have to be 1 week I'm doing salmon and baked potatoes, and the next week I'm doing salmon and sweet potatoes, and the next week I'm doing salmon and Brussels sprouts. Like, not that that's not wonderful. And if you know how, if you're confident and comfortable cooking all those things, you remembered to shop for them and your kids will eat them all, great. But we overcomplicate things.
Yeah, we do. Sometimes. And then every time I'd be like, well, three of us love salmon, but what am I going to feed the other two? And it's like, I like the lazy genius says, I just decided once. It's salmon and those two things go together, and then everyone has something to eat.
Okay, so I do have some questions. Yep. First of all, we didn't really define this in the beginning, and I'm sure it's, for me at least, it's different for each different meal. But how often would you guess that this particular always in rotation meal makes it into the rotation?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say we have it at least every other week, and there might even be some back-to-back weeks when we do it. I get my salmon at Trader Joe's, and whenever I get it, we eat it within a couple of days, because this particular salmon is not frozen. I think you could cook from frozen, you know, that would be great too. I just happen to get it fresh. And I go to Trader Joe's about once a week, but I don't all, it doesn't, yeah. So I'm going to say every other week we probably have this.
Every other week. And do you, does it come pre-seasoned, or is it just, do you always season it the same?
Yeah, so it does not come pre-seasoned, but it does come fresh. And Brian does really, really simple, like garlic powder, salt and pepper. And then I think he sears it in a pan with a little bit of butter, maybe a little bit of butter and oil, both, like a little of one of each. And then just kind of like pan juices, keeps basting it until it is done and it is delicious. And then, the baked potatoes are done the first part of the time in the microwave and then finished in a really hot oven, which I think is an America's Test Kitchen hack that I learned. And the kids will eat. They'll eat two baked potatoes each if they're kind of smaller, or one really big one.
Okay, one final question.
Yeah.
If Brian were out of town, would you A, attempt this on your own, and B, would you feel, I don't know, comfortable, or like, would it even be worth it to you to make it a different way?
I think I'd probably skip this one if he were out of town.
Okay.
because I have such positive associations with like the way it works for the five of us. Like when we eat this meal, right. we're all five around the table sitting down. And when he later in the episode, I'll talk about like a new in the rotation when he's out of town. I think I just do different things when he's gone.
Makes sense. I was only asking because the way I do salmon is like so fast and well, like yeah. Brian's way sounds really good, but also a little more chefy.
Yeah, it's more, total chefy. He's happening. Like, you know this about him. He looks like he's on a TV, like a cooking show when he cooks. Right. Like he's like got fancy tricks and tools. And oh, I also wanted to say that two of my three kids really like chopped up bacon on their baked potato. Yeah. And I used to be really intimidated by cooking bacon, and I'm finally not anymore. So I will do all of the baked potato stuff, including cooking up some bacon. And then we have the bacon. It's just already cooked. And the kids put it in sandwiches or other things throughout the week. So we usually have chives, bacon, cheese, sour cream. Like if we're on our A game, we have all the good stuff for the baked potatoes.
Would any of your kids ever put salsa on a baked potato? I personally find that abhorrent, but I know there are people who really like it.
So my kids probably would if they thought of it, but you know what Reed puts on his is Frank's Red Hot, like buffalo wing sauce.
Yeah,
so
that's
a whole thing. And so then it turns, it's like the weirdest color. Like you look over and he's eating, he doesn't eat the salmon, but he eats something that's essentially like salmon colored.
Like a bloody
mush
potato.
On a plate. It's so weird. But Megan, everybody's happy.
Everyone's happy. And that's all that matters.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's three, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have two pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather, but please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown Loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes. Wearable well-being for your feet.
All right, Megan. So what is always in rotation for you?
So I'm going back to the OG for this. This is one of my original always in rotation meals, which honestly predates Owen demanding that it go in rotation. But it's essentially similar to what you were saying about things that paired well. Mm-hmm. It was a big old hunk of meat with some kind of roasted veggies on the side. And this is like a little less specific because it might have been pot roast and carrots. Those always pair well. Or pork tenderloin and new potatoes. Those always pair well. And there's more, you know, like there's always been different cuts or whatever that we're eating at any different time that we're into. What used to happen when the kids were really little, that is that somebody would be really into the veggies and somebody would be really into the meat. And there was a lot of trading that would go on at the table. Uh-huh. And as we talked about back then, I would always just have a bread basket or plate with some bread on it. And so yeah. I felt like everyone got definitely enough food. And I really didn't care if one of them was eating, you know, pot roast and bread and the other one was eating carrots and bread and the other one was eating bread and bread. Just like bread and bread. I just kind of knew that was what was going to happen. I will say that when I had five young children in the house, this was a very literal strategy. Like it would be the biggest piece of meat I could find. If I bought, let's say a chuck roast, I'd get two. So there would be 6.5 pounds of meat on the table. Mm-hmm. And then two cookie sheets or two, what do you call those? Baking sheets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Full of vegetables. And we would eat all of that. I've really had to remind myself to scale that back. So now it's more like a normal sized hunk of meat and maybe like half of a cookie sheet full of mixed veg. Or we just save whatever for leftovers the next day. Lots of times those roasted veggies make really good hash in the morning. So we still use it, but like I am not buying meat in the quantities that I used to. But the sort of idea of this really classic meat and two veg or meat and veg and, you know, meat and veg and bread on the side meal has really stood the test of time.
My first question is more of like a technical one, cause I need to picture it. When the big hunk of meat is finished cooking and you're about to serve or plate and serve or whatever you do, are you like shredding? Are you slicing? Are you leaving it in a big Dutch oven and picturing like little Viking children reaching in? Like how are most of these hunks of meat being served from like oven to plate? Tell me the journey from oven to plate.
Yeah. So this depends a little bit on how much on my game I am and how many people are eating at once. So the way I used to always do it is that I would put the veg would all go together usually, because usually it was things that could cook together. So maybe I was doing carrots and Brussels sprouts or carrots and green beans, but they were like carrots and green beans. It wasn't like
on the carrot. That's how I usually do it.
And I would usually just put those into a bowl because then it's a lot easier than putting it on the table on a hot cookie sheet. And I'd put that on the table and cover it. And then the meat, depending on the meat, like, so maybe the meat would be, if it was pork tenderloin, I would slice it and put it out, slice like on a plate.
Okay.
And if it was, let's say it was pot roast, I was not leaving it in the Dutch oven. It was always coming out into some sort of grabbable size, like, because I didn't want to be out at the table trying to portion stuff and cut it at the table. Like that was stuff I did before I called anyone to the table when they were little.
Yeah. Now, and I didn't know if we were getting into like shred, like more like pulled pork, like that kind of shredded or pot roast.
But pork, like a pot roast is kind of shreddy, right? It's sort of falling apart. So like same thing, like it would, I would do anything that needs to be done. If it was shredded pork, I would shred it. Well, by that point it would be falling apart because I'd cook it for so long. Yeah. By the time it makes it to the table, it's in whatever form a kid could use a pair of tongs or a fork or whatever and grab it and eat it without having any additional prep happening at the table. Now that there's fewer of us, if I'm only serving, you know, Clara, me, and Eric, and Owen, I have a big platter, and I'll usually put everything on the platter.
Yeah, makes sense.
And sometimes when I'm really lazy, I just tell everyone to go to the oven and at the stove and grab their own. So
if Owen had his druthers, if he had his first choice of rotation, which of the big hunks of meat, does he have a favorite? Or is this still like any one of these would still please the remaining troops?
Well, I didn't mention the pulled pork. Probably the pulled pork, but only if I did it with a hash over the vegetables, which isn't quite what I'm talking about here.
Right. That's different. That's different. You have a blog post with that recipe. Yeah. So that'll be a bonus.
Probably the pot roast. He always loves a good chuck roast with carrots. Like, that's a winner. Winner, winner.
I love it.
Yeah. Love it. Well, what about your next always in rotation meal?
Okay. Well, this is something that I feel like has finally solidified in the rotation. I mean, we've always had some kind of taco night, burrito night, Mexican night in rotation for years and years. But this, the last couple of years, this one has solidified so that, like, similar to salmon and baked potatoes, like, once this is on the menu, I know exactly what to do. So this is burritos with slow cooker shredded chicken and then all the burrito fixins. And so here's how we do it. I do chicken breast in the slow cooker with a can of salsa verde, like grocery store green salsa, and some white onion and sometimes lime and cilantro, depending on what else I put in there. But honestly, and then some chicken broth to cover it. So the slow cooker handles the slow cooking of the chicken breast. And by the end of, and also it doesn't take all day. Like, I always used to think like crock pot stuff took 12 hours. This takes, right. It can be 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I can set this up and it'll be done. It could take 3 or 4 hours. It really doesn't take very long. And it's very forgiving. The can of salsa verde is always a good for the flavor profile, but I've done it a million different ways and not messed it up. Brian discovered the hack of, once that chicken is cooked, I will pick out the big chunks of onion because the kids don't want like a giant onion. If a few slip through, that's fine. But I do the onions in there mostly for flavor. And then you can use a handheld mixer to shred the chicken, which I don't think either of us really realized, but it takes,
I've never done that.
It works. It's so fast. It takes like 10 seconds. Yeah. I think Brian saw it on Instagram or something.
So just like an old fashioned, sorry, yep. Like with the, I don't know how you even describe the things you'd use to make cookie batter.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mine is from the '70s. Yeah. Okay. And so that will, and just in a mixing bowl, and then we put it kind of back in the crock pot. So now it's in the crock pot and it's kind of in its juices. And we have a set of tongs. So that is the meat for the burrito. And then we have a favorite tortilla that we get at, I don't get them at Trader Joe's because they're just better at the big box grocery store. And it's like an extra large tortilla that's meant for burritos. So you don't have the like falling apart or the ripping. So that kind of like helped solidify things. And then I have a microwavable bag of Spanish rice from Trader Joe's. Now, you and I both love our rice cooker. For this meal, I don't use the rice cooker because this Trader Joe's one bag of microwavable Spanish rice, that it's like such a good flavor profile. And I already have the crock pot out on the counter. So the rice cooker feels like a whole thing. So we do that for the rice and then, you know, cheese, salsas, maybe sour cream, maybe avocado if we have it. And then what makes this so yummy, and I even really look forward to this, is we have a flat griddle on our stovetop range, but you could also use just a frying pan. And over like medium heat, the kids will make their burritos with all the fixins. And then we will basically like flat griddle toast them like they would at Chipotle or something.
Yeah.
There's no press. You're not like panini pressing them
down.
No,
I know what you mean.
But you're just kind of
like
sealing it all in.
Mm-hmm. And you get that nice brown.
It gets brown and then the cheese gets extra melty. Because sometimes I feel like the hot meat doesn't do all the work of melting all the melty stuff. And then you can like cut it with a knife, like you feel like you're at like Chipotle or something, like a really good burrito. And I don't even think, like, Brian sometimes will turn all this into a salad instead of a burrito for himself. So he might have all of his stuff on a bed of greens, but I don't even think we're serving sides, chips usually. In fact, some of my kids put crumpled up tortilla chips inside their burrito. So we would have like a bag of chips open, fresh cilantro, lime. This meal makes an enormous mess at the beginning, but then it's eaten. It's like such a good delivery system for so many different ingredients and so modifiable for different tastes that the mess is like temporary. And it's, I mean, I look forward to it. It's so yummy.
It's so funny. I never make burritos at home, which is silly because I do a lot of tacos and I do nachos every now and then. And a burrito, it feels like you just get so much more food and it does have that special feeling. I'm already using, like, when I do tacos, I'm already using the frying pan to warm up the shells. So it wouldn't be even any more work.
Yeah. And I do think having the right burrito, because there's nothing more disappointing. I mean, there are, but very few things in life are more disappointing than trying to like make a burrito and it's all falling out the sides and then the tortilla rips. So I
think that's why I don't do it. I think I'm afraid that'll happen.
this became much more enjoyable when we just found, they're just the Mission brand, which are everywhere around here. I don't know.
Yeah,
and
we
they're
have
just,
them too.
They
they're
say
very
just
soft,
like, they're
too.
Very soft and they say like extra large burrito. They're just the ones that are meant for this. And so, yeah, yummy, yummy. And then I'll eat that chicken. I mean, we'll make the exact same thing the next day. If we might have it two nights in a row, someone might have it for lunch or after school. So the kids are very happy.
I have a question for you about making this sort of food, whether it's burritos or tacos or whatever. Yeah. Do you put all the little fixins out like in their own individual little bowls, or do you throw the bag of cheese on the counter?
If it's just a family night, we would just throw the bag of cheese on the counter. It just makes for more dishes. We do this sometimes, like for if we have my parents and brother over, if we're doing like an extended family dinner, it does feel special to do it that way sometimes. Another thing I like to do is take a giant cutting board and then have little piles, because that feels a little more so, like chopped up cilantro. Even like with avocado, I'll make what I call cutting board guacamole, which is literally just mashing the avocado with a little lime and salt. And then it's not really guacamole, but it's a little more than just avocado. So yeah, a big cutting board is another like fun way to display all your fixins without just having like bags of open bags of cheese and chips. But we do that regularly.
Another question for you. Yeah. Do you have just one kind of salsa, or do you find that kids in your house, or taco sauce or whatever, or do you find that different people have different preferences for things like size of chunks or heat?
So when like, I try to be the most predictable and the most mild when it comes to how the chicken is cooked, which is why I have this one salsa verde that everybody likes. And that is sort of like the base for cooking the meat. But then I do like to have a bunch of different options that people can individually add to their burritos, if that makes sense. So I've been burned too many times to experiment at the base level, but at the individual customization level.
Oh, right. No, I meant the customization level. So you might have two taco sauces or two salsas out or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. And like Brian and Reed like hot sauces. So they'll get more into like the hot sauces, whereas Violet and I really like a green salsa or a pico de gallo. So whatever we have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I think this is one of those things I don't do right now. My rotation does not include enough like Mexican food frequently enough for me to have multiple salsas and sauces and things like that in the fridge, because they would go bad. Like, we're just not using them enough.
Yeah.
So right now I think I have right now all of the fixings for what you just like all of it. I have the chicken. I don't have those nice burritos, but I could do tacos or something, but I don't think any salsa in the house. So not that you have to have it, but
it makes it fun.
So it does. And it gives the flavor to the chicken. Sounds like. And something about putting salsa in the slow cooker with the chicken definitely keeps that chicken breast nice and moist, which is important when it's chicken breast, because they can dry out.
Totally.
Oh, I meant to ask you, with a burrito, how often do you think that that's in rotation? I think that's a fun question. Like, what does it even mean for something to be in rotation?
I know. I mean, I'm going to say the same about every other week. So almost every rotation. I don't even know like the length. What is my rotation? Is it a week's worth of meals? I feel like we're more on like
I feel like it's like 10 it's like meals 10 or something.
Yeah. I feel like a 10 day to 2 week, period of time, because in there you have lots of leftovers. You have lots of nights where everyone's having cereal. And so it's not like a week is five family dinners. It's probably more five in the course of 10 to 14 days. And then it starts all over again. All right. What's up in your rotation?
Yeah. Well, this is a newer, I would say probably 2 years now. This has been in the rotation a lot. And if Owen could, he'd have it two or three times a week.
Aw.
So this is rice that I make in the rice cooker, just white rice.
White rice.
Diced up chicken. Diced up chicken, I prefer thigh, but at Aldi, I can't always find chicken thighs like from the brand I want. So sometimes it ends up being breasts. And breasts are a little easier to, like there's positives to working with breasts, but they just don't have the flavor that thighs have, and thighs are cheaper. And then with some kind of flavorful seasoning. Now, this is where sometimes it's kind of like a rotation meal that is actually more than one, because often it's a butter chicken or butter chicken type food, like an Indian sauce of some sort. But sometimes it's stir fry sauce or something like that. Sometimes it's just like I wing it with spices out of the fridge or out of the fridge. No, I don't put my spices in the fridge. Spices out of the pantry and make it a little bit more of that Mexican flavor. So it's different every time. And then if I have the time, I might do a butter chicken from scratch. But if I don't, I might use a jar of sauce that I got it at Aldi or at Meijer. And I sometimes will doctor that a bit. I don't love the jarred sauces straight up. I find like they're just always lacking a little something, like a little creaminess or something.
Yeah,
or so
probably acid. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. So I might like when I'm, you know how when you pour something out of a jar, there's always a little bit left.
Yeah.
I might pour a little bit of cream in there and shake it around and then it makes the sauce like creamier and then you don't waste any of the sauce. Or I'll sometimes add yogurt because I find that that gives it a little bit of a bite, a little bit of interest. But anyway, the jarred sauce is perfectly acceptable. And this meal will take me, I mean, the rice cooker takes an hour, but only 2 minutes of that is me putting the rice in water in and turning it on.
Right.
And then cutting up the chicken might take 5 minutes and then putting it in a pan and pouring sauce over it and then letting it simmer. I'm not doing anything for most of that time.
Yeah.
It's so, so quick. And I get like rave reviews over something I barely did anything for.
Do you, can you talk to me about the pan you're using and do you put a little oil in first and kind of brown the chicken and then add the sauce or are you literally dumping it all in? Okay.
Nope. I brown the chicken first. I mean, you could skip that, but it wouldn't really save you much time.
Right.
And I think the flavor is worth it. So yeah, I put a little oil in the pan. I use avocado oil cause it doesn't smoke when it gets hot. I have, my caraway that's got the nice high side. Now I do have pans that give you to be honest, a better sear, like a better brown, but then that don't have that nice tall side.
Yeah.
That caraway pan has, which I love for sauce. So I just turn the heat way, way up and wait and make sure that that pan is super hot before I put the meat in. And it's not like, especially if you have a lot of meat. So if you're doing a lot of chicken in a pan at once, you're not going to get the same browning as you would if you were doing in batches, but sometimes I don't care that much. It's like good enough is good enough, you know?
Yeah. And my other technical question is I feel like I haven't cooked chicken that way in a really long time. And I think one of the reasons is I have a tendency to make it really rubbery. And I just don't know what is the thing that does that. If it's overcooking it, I'm just not sure. So
I'm going to guess it's overcooking.
Yeah.
Maybe the size of the pieces.
Yeah.
Is affecting that too. Like maybe they're too small
or inconsistent. As you were talking, I was thinking that depending on like where you can get shrimp and how affordably, shrimp would also be really yummy in the exact like keeping everything else exactly the same. And sometimes shrimp can be quite affordable and it can also thaw really. You can have it frozen and then just thaw it in the morning and then have it ready to go. So I used to do that kind of meal with shrimp quite a bit, like, I don't know, in 10 years ago's rotation. And I haven't in a long time. So that's a good reminder.
I haven't really either in a long time. And I think it's because I had a really hard time finding for a while there. I don't know if I was just looking in the wrong spot, but I wanted the shrimp that was small, deveined and peeled. And I had a really hard time.
I don't think it's you. There's like so many. It's like with shrimp, there's like six different attributes and you have to find the one
they all look kind of the same on the package. And then a guy told me at the grocery store that there was a shrimp shortage like a year ago. And I don't know if that corrected itself. I think I stopped even trying because I used to always have a bag in the freezer and I would pull it out, not every time, but like every third or fourth time. And that I did a lot of shrimp pasta and shrimp like with rice, sometimes shrimp tacos. And I just haven't.
Yeah,
really
I
recently
haven't either. But as you were talking, I was like, oh, and then that would also be good with shrimp.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is, I don't know what kind of chicken you were doing that way, but chicken thighs, I think, are just so much more forgiving. They don't dry out.
Yeah.
They just don't get that rubberiness that I think, I know what you're talking about with white meat. Mm-hmm. And I just think chicken thighs are where it's at.
Yeah. We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour. Okay, Sarah. So there's always going to be things that are in the rotation for a minute or a decade, right? Mm-hmm. And then rotate their way on out. So what's something for you that was in the rotation but isn't anymore?
Yeah, this is so funny to think about. And I bet if we went back to old episodes of the Mom Hour where we talked about dinners, I'd be like, oh yeah, we used to make that all the time. Well, I'm going to say that pasta night of any kind used to be a regular and just isn't anymore. And I can trace exactly why. One of my kids does not really like anything pasta based, which is so weird because kids normally love noodles, but Reed doesn't like any form of pasta. So that's one
very
person
strange.
Down.
Yes.
And then Brian is always trying to eat a little less, you know, like white flour based food.
Right.
And I could kind of go either way. And so for a while, like he and I were making these lentil noodles and then we'd make regular noodles for the kids. And then we'd make like, I used to do like mushrooms and bell peppers and then like a jar sauce, kind of make like a very chunky flavor filled sauce. And then some kids didn't want sauce and some kids only wanted butter. I mean, I think it was one of those that started out like, oh, this is a good meal where everyone can, deconstruct it a little bit and make their own thing. And then it was like way more complicated than it needed to be. And honestly, I don't know that anybody truly loved it. So unlike a burrito where everyone's so happy with the burrito that they end up with, I don't think anybody liked pasta night. And it seemed so affordable and obvious, but it just eventually worked its way out of the rotation. So Violet and Luke still love like a good bowl of noodles, but they'll just make themselves that after school one day. We just never eat pasta anymore.
That's so funny because pasta used to also be hugely in our rotation. It's not the kind of thing Eric really eats, although he'll do like zoodles, which he and I will argue. I'm like, that is not pasta. Zoodles are not a noodle substitute. They're a vegetable, which I really like them.
Yeah.
But not as like, it's not the same thing. Anyways, yeah. I just think it started to feel like the kids had such a lackluster response to it after a while. And then they were basically only in it for the frozen garlic bread. and then we'd have a whole bunch of pasta that didn't get eaten, which I would be kind of, you know, irritated about. When talking about things that we were really into 10 years ago, let's say, I used to make a ziti, a full-on 9 by 13 casserole dish of ziti, baked ziti, probably once a week for a long time. Now, it's kind of, it's not that, like, it's kind of high, a lot of work for what it is. The fact that it's like noodles, meat, and sauce, there was a lot that had to happen to get it kind of all in the consistency and like all in the, like the order that you cook things in and layering it all in and all that. But that work was 100% worth it back in the day when you doing like, I would sometimes do two casserole dishes full and by the end of the week, they were gone. Now, if I did one, it would take a week for the kids to eat and they'd never finish it. So it just like, it started to not be worth the investment of time.
Yeah.
So I realized this the other day, I don't make stew anymore. And stew was a big one that I used to make.
I remember that.
And Owen at one point in his very honest manner just said, I'm not really into stew. And I was like, were you ever into stew? He's like, I don't know, but I'm not now. I think they would just rather, if I was going to have all the ingredients that go in a stew, they'd rather just have it like pot roast and veg, which is essentially a stew, right? They would rather just have it on a plate than trying to make the soup thing out of it. But speaking of like a time of life that just no longer exists for me, we don't have any of those traditional like convenience food, like corn dogs, chicken nuggies, boxed mac. We just don't have it. And no one ever asks for it. If I had it around, they'd eat it, but I never buy it and no one ever asks. And I think there was a time in my life, well, I know this, it was a long period of time where I always had something like that in the freezer. Yeah. But nowadays, I don't feel like it would solve it wouldn't solve a problem for me anymore. Yeah.
I know what you
mean.
And
I think everybody would just rather have the food I would, like, they would rather have my food that I want to cook, and I want to cook it anyway. And then there's usually leftovers. It's just, our lives are so different.
Yeah.
And I remember that being like, oh my gosh, this is my Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I want to get dinner on. I'm going to pull out a corn dog and I'm going to serve it with frozen peas. And that's dinner. And it was like, yay, look at, I did it. I planned a meal. But now I just don't think, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not a judgment on the nutrition or anything. It's just,
right. It's not, it is not fitting in the, it's not solving a problem. It's not like,
it would take us all longer to stand around waiting for the microwave to be done or whatever. Like it just, and I still got to, or I put it in the oven on a cookie sheet, then I might as well do one of these other things. It's just as easy. So
exactly. Anyway. And, or now you want to serve it with rice. And if you're making rice, why wouldn't you just, you know,
do this other thing,
something else. I do feel like we are still in that era of some kind of convenience, frozen convenience things. My kids tend to really want them for like after school snacks. So we have not graduated from that. But I'm not leaning on them for dinners quite as much as maybe I did at some point. So, yeah,
I think it's funny how some of these things slip out of the rotation without you having to make a big declaration that you're not going to buy that thing anymore. It's not like I went, I'm not going to buy corn dogs anymore or whatever. I just, 1 week, I guess I just didn't buy them.
Yep.
And then life went on and I made other things. And
yeah,
it's sometimes it's funny how that happens.
Totally. Well, is there anything that's new to your rotation lately?
Yeah. Probably 6 months ago, I had a HelloFresh recipe and it was mushu pork bowls with cabbage. I believe we were doing an advertising campaign with them and I talked about it in the ad because the kids loved it. And
I think I've even made that HelloFresh recipe before, and I think it's delicious.
I mean, there was nothing that magical about it. It was ground pork and some diced up cabbage, and then a sauce, which you can buy those sauces at the store too. You know, if you just want to have them in your fridge. So I just shamelessly ripped it off and, I've been making it at home and the kids love it. Like, this is the kind that Owen will be like, oh, oh, mom, oh, you've really outdone yourself. Oh, I mean, you know, he's kind of acting a little bit, but I'll take it. And the funny thing is, I also sometimes will do like a Korean beef bulgogi, which has a very similar flavor. There's like a lot of ginger. They also love that, but that's like a whole to do. You have to slice this beef really thin against the grain. You have to marinate it. And then that kind of like steak beef is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Pork, ground pork is very cheap, but the flavors are super similar once you have the sauce in there. It's so fast.
Yeah, I feel like that would go over well with my kids too. So the pork bowl, like remind me, there was like a cabbage slaw or something in there too, right? Do you do that?
I feel like the recipe I used, or at least what I've been doing now, is I just put the cabbage in with the meat while it's cooking.
Oh,
so it all
okay.
comes
out sense.
Together.
Oh, that makes sense.
It feel like it was photographed like it was a slaw, but then the ingredients or the recipe said to mix it in. And it's just that. It's basically pork with cabbage on a bed of rice. Yeah. And maybe there are some like scallions, which I skip half the time because my kids don't care about scallions.
Oh, my kids love green onions and chives and scallops and all kinds of, isn't that funny? The weird thing for kids to love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. How about you? What is new to your rotation?
Well, I'm going to make this tonight actually, as we record this. So this is something in my quest to have some rotation dinners that I feel good about when Brian is traveling, instead of like, oh, dad's out of town, I guess we're having cereal again. Like I could definitely get in moods like that. So I am dubbing this fun sandwich night or panini night, or I think I've also called it fancy grilled cheese night. But one of those things, I would declare it ahead of time. This is what we're doing. And I'd pull out throughout the week from making lunches and other things that my kids eat. We end up with like a lot of different kinds of cheese and a couple different kinds of meat. We might have like tonight we have grilled chicken breast that is sliced thin. So it's not like from the deli section, like Brian actually cooked it on the grill and then sliced it thin. But it might also just be like deli chicken or deli ham. So we pull out all the meats we have, all the cheeses we have. Sometimes we might have a jar of pesto. Sometimes there might be like some other interesting sauce. And I have this French bread, sliced French bread that I buy at Trader Joe's and keep in the freezer because we're not eating it all the time. But get out some of that, or maybe we have hamburger buns. This is like essentially clean out the fridge and make your perfect panini sandwich. And then same thing, we have that flat griddle and I have one of those heavy iron, like a press. It looks like the old fashioned iron almost, but it's flat and you use it to press down a grilled cheese or a panini. And so everybody makes their own, similar to burrito night. It makes a big mess on the front end, but there's something really fun about building. I love like a perfect sandwich. So we've had before like brie, turkey and pesto, or like I did like, the last time I did kind of just a fancy grilled cheese. I had two different kinds of cheeses, sliced tomato, onion sliced really thin. And then, you know, I buttered the bread. And so I think it helps us look forward to like dad's out of town. We're going to eat around the counter. It's not like a true blue family dinner, but it's also not a total phone it in because everybody. And then we're like, ooh, what are you putting in yours? Ooh, what are you putting in yours? So we kind of take turns to use the griddle and press it down, and we all admire like how toasty we want it and how melty. And so, yeah, I would say there's more like emotion tied to fancy grilled cheese night.
It's like a participatory event or something, like a sport.
And I think that's what I need in order to care about cooking dinner for my family. I have I'm wired differently in terms of like the way I feel about, I just don't care about dinner very much. I could eat cereal for dinner and be fine. So I need to trick myself into making this something fun. And this is a way that's fun. So we are doing fancy grilled cheese night tonight and Brian's at a work thing and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I kind of want to steal this idea because we are recording this right before my dinner time starts and I'm still a little bit laid up with this back issue. So maybe I'll just go throw some bread and cheese at the kids, depending on what we have in the cheese drawer. I feel like we always have odds and ends of cheese that like we didn't finish. Ooh, and a turkey. That sounds so good. Now, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do any of your kids ever sort of thwart the spirit and be like of the game and be like, actually, I just want Kraft singles?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Or like, especially if they catch a whiff that this is like not a real dinner, but kind of like a clean out the fridge dinner, then all of a sudden, like Violet will be like, well, I'm just going to make a can of soup. And I'm like, well, But that's not like,
what this is.
I try to have some kind of like boundary or container so that at least we're all kind of eating the same thing. But that is, it's like there's too many loopholes there. Right, thereby. Right,
right. Mom, it seems like you're sort of phoning this in so I get to in my own way. But you're like, but I'm not though, emotionally.
Right. Right. Well, and sometimes we'll say it's leftovers slash clean out the fridge night. And I always feel good about that because I like using leftovers. I like cleaning out the fridge. And the kids will just wander to the left, which is the freezer. And all of a sudden they're making like bags of frozen gnocchi and like freezer pizzas. I'm like, no, that is not the spirit of clean out the fridge night. Those are the things we save for like, that's a different kind of like special night or mom and dad are out on a date or something. But clean out the fridge means you stay in the fridge area and you eat what's in there. We're not getting
into the actual fridge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. You know, while we were both talking, I was thinking about how just like things slowly exit the rotation, it takes a little while to bring things fully into the rotation because this like pork thing that I've now done a handful of times since I first made the HelloFresh recipe, I'm now like, oh, I could do this every other week. Like I don't, it takes a while for it to occur to you to do it. And
then
I think
you have to get it on your shopping list.
Yes,
that's what's it, like, if it feels like a one-off, then it's not going to make it. The ingredients aren't going to make it onto your regular shopping list.
Yeah. So it's just kind of funny. It doesn't happen all at once. It's not like one day you declare this is now in the rotation and you make it once a week. It's just, it's more organic than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, last question. Is there anything you would like to bring into the rotation besides the ideas you got from me today and vice versa? Because I think we inspired each other.
Now we're going to have twice as many things on our rotations. Yeah.
Anything else that you feel like would work, but you just haven't found the right recipe or hit the right rhythm?
Yeah. Well, I think I maybe have talked about this on the show, but my only resolution this year in 2024 was to eat more beans.
That,
it was just kind of a... My word of the year is beans. And it was kind of a joke, sort of, but a for real joke, because I was like, actually, I really want to eat more beans. I want to experiment with them. I want to make them more part of a staple of our diet. And the way for me to do that was to make it a resolution, I guess. So I've been making so many beans.
I love
But what I haven't really figured out how to do yet is how to incorporate the beans into sort of like family meals, where it's not just me tucking into a big pile of beans, like more adventurous sides maybe that have beans in them. Like that lentil situation that you shared with me yesterday when we were talking, not on the show. Sarah shared a recipe that had lentils in it and it sounded amazing. The trick, of course, is that just because I like something, that doesn't mean the kids will be interested. So do I make it and just kind of put it out? And if they skip it, they skip it. Do I just keep it to myself? I don't know, but I feel like I feel like my side and salad game could use a little work.
How are your kids with the beans that you've been doing so far? Like, do Owen and Clara eat beans at all? I mean,
like
in
they
any
would
form?
if they were in a soup or a chili. Yes. Yeah. But like I've made things like white bean, spinach and like garlicky lemon spinach side dish. They're not going to probably.
Right.
It's delicious, but they don't want to give it a chance.
Right.
Or I made that Korean beef and I was like, oh, I bet you there's probably some authentic Korean side dish that has beans. And it turns out there is. It's like a black bean dish.
Yeah.
And I made them and the kids were kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
They didn't love it. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle and maybe it's not a battle worth. I feel like I'm in this creative bean mode right now where I want to try it and I want to get them in and maybe they just don't care.
Yeah.
And never will care. But I think I'm going to keep trying. They would also eat baked beans.
Uh-huh. Yep. You know, baked beans has been a rotating side at times for us.
I don't like them. I don't like them.
So. I will eat them at a barbecue. I'll eat like 3 bites at a barbecue, but I don't crave them or anything.
There's something about the sweet and like mushy. It's just not my thing. But something I bet if I thought for, you know, if I gave it 5 minutes of thought, I could probably come up with a few ways to kind of incorporate them into things that we're already eating that they might get into. I just haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the ziti that was a part of your rotation for so long, because I am actually in search of some kind of a bake of any kind. It could be a tray of enchiladas. It could be a lasagna. It could be a ziti. But something that I can reliably count on myself to make ahead, and make ahead could just be that morning, or it could be like make ahead, truly make ahead, and have for when Brian is traveling, that the kids and I look forward to. And so that's what fancy sandwich night is also in this, but he's just traveling a lot lately. So I can't have, we can't have fancy grilled cheese every night. I'm thinking that some kind of enchiladas, especially if it's like an enchiladas verde, because like I talked about with the burritos, all three of my kids like the flavor profile of like a mild green salsa. And I really love enchiladas, but I never make them. And I know they're easy. I know it's not hard. And you can do this with like a can of green chilies and a jar of salsa. It's like not, it does not have to be overly precious. I just haven't landed on the right recipe, and I kind of forget about this option of doing something ahead in a casserole dish and then putting it in the oven. But it's such a like high five to your future self to be like, oh, I already thought about dinner. I thought about dinner this morning, or I thought about dinner yesterday, and now we just warm it up. So I think the thing that's a little, it feels daunting about something like this in the rotation is it's a fair amount of work. To your point about the ziti, it's a fair amount of work to do ahead and then bring it out and reveal it to your children. And then there's no way to like deconstruct enchiladas. It's not like my burritos where they can add their own ingredients. So if they don't like it, I feel like it's a bigger womp womp. So I think I just need to get over that and just try one that sounds good to me and have an option, have chips and salsa on the side, and the kids can pound sand for a night, as we like to say. So I just need to try.
I could have said multiple things exactly that you said.
Oh, really?
One, okay. I love enchiladas. Two, I know they're super easy. Three, I never think to make them. Now, as you were talking, it occurred to me that that's coming from a place in my motherhood muscle memory, an old story narrative that my kids won't eat things that are all mixed up together, and I better always have something that they can take apart.
Right.
And I know that there was a time that my kids absolutely 100% would not have touched an enchilada, but that time is not now. They would eat it.
Right, right.
I know they would eat
too.
It.
Probably two out of three, which is as good as I ever get.
As good as it's going to get.
Anything.
And you know what? Make the other ones a side of rice.
Yeah.
And then they can maybe scoop a little of the sauce on top of the rice or something. I mean, there's so many ways around this, but I'm just like you. I just, it never occurs to me. Let's both like put this in our rotation. Yeah. In our meal plan. I guess it's not truly in the rotation until it's rotating, but let's try it and see how it goes over. Like in the next
and every time,
3 weeks.
Like in our Facebook group, when someone's like, oh, when I'm having a baby next month, I've already made myself 6 trays of frozen enchiladas and put them in the freezer. And I'm like, who are these people? Like, I've never cracked the code of like how happy I'll be to have something like that made ahead. And like I said, make ahead could be 5 hours or 5 months. I don't do any of it. And so if any listener wants to recommend us an easy enchiladas verde, I'm specifically looking for a green. I like the red too, but I think my kids will do better with green.
I would I'll like the green better as well.
Yeah.
I don't really, I'm not a huge fan of like a red sauce on that kind of food. I like the green sauces better. But I do think we are going to find that this is so easy that we're going to be like kicking ourselves.
I know. But maybe that
kick
is what
we need.
But it's
okay. We still have lots of meals. We have lots of meals left to eat in this lifetime. So
it's true. It's true.
It's all right.
Well, hopefully we gave all of you listening maybe a few new ideas for the rotation. We'd love to hear what's in your regular rotation. You can find us at hello@themomhour.com. Megan, we've been getting a lot of emails lately. I think it's because I practically begged for some emails an episode earlier in January.
It sounded a little needy, Sarah. I've got to be honest.
I was telling people that we used to get emails from listeners all the time. And then now we do, our audience is even bigger, but I think people reach out via social media, and that's nice too, but there's something about an email that just we love. And so we've been getting a lot lately. We continue to love them. We're hello@themomhour.com. And then another good way to catch our attention is in our private Facebook group, which we will link up in the show notes. And we will talk to you all wherever you find us. And Megan, I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you very soon.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram @TheMomHour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon. The Mom Hour is brought to you by partners like Chatbooks. Chatbooks makes it beyond easy to create beautiful photo books by importing your digital photos from anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Google Photos, or directly from your phone. The books come in a variety of sizes with beautiful cover options and binding styles to choose from, and they start at just $15. Plus, we have a great deal just for our listeners. Use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20% off your purchase. Just download the Chatbooks app and use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20%.
Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Tease Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Tease Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Tease Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts, or head to thetteasemade.com to find all the episodes.